not the whole thing. It might be better if you do it. I mean, I can do it. How can Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Mount Carmel Church of God. Thank you for coming here today, or listening on the radio, or viewing us on Facebook. However you hear us, we just thank you for giving us and God some of your time. We have many announcements, so let me get right into it. First, we have a praise. Larry Hubbard is home from the hospital. So that was a huge praise, and I asked his wife if I could share this, and she said, I'll just read you what she wrote. Larry came home yesterday, so this is a couple days ago. He's got lots of work ahead of him to get stronger. Memory is improving, still has trouble breathing, but is getting better too. Praise the Lord for all that he has done and is to do. So, again, we thank you for your prayers, but continue to pray that his appetite comes back and that he does fully recover, please. Also, a reminder, on Wednesday the 6th, we have the sign-up for Awana's out at the pavilion, so that will be going on. If you're helping, you don't need to be here for that, but just pray that people will be coming out for that. And then October, and I didn't write it down, next Sunday, we will be, after church, we will have a meeting then, because then we'll have an idea of how many kids are coming to Awana, and we'll have a meeting and get everything set for the following Wednesday to start. Also, October 16th, the pastor will be moving here. Yay is right. So on the at noon, on the 16th, we need help unloading. So if you would like to help, see David Keller. He's got details in regards to that. And we would appreciate any strong, able bodies there. It's that time of year. I was given this to read from Christian Ed. It's time again for Trunk or Treat, and Christian Ed would like to know if anyone is willing to decorate their cars and pass out candy to trick-or-treaters. Like last year, it would be a true Trunk or Treat with decorated cars in the parking lot and families driving through to collect candy. Trick-or-treaters would not leave their cars. If you are willing to participate, we respectfully request that all decorations are family-friendly and not scary. We need to know as soon as possible if you are willing, and would you please contact one of the Christian Ed members. They are Barb Immel, Kathy Rasmussen, Jane Miller, Patty Hughes, Nancy Myrick, Ron Wilson, Kurt Frederick, and Ann Frederick. And you can also call the church office, and they thank you for that. So if there are no other announcements, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your love and your mercy. We continue to lift up the sick and elderly. We just pray for those that have had surgeries, those that have had tests. Pray for positive results there. And we continue to lift up Larry and just pray for full recovery there. And we just pray for a smooth transition for Pastor Tim as he's coming, and we just pray that you use this church to reach the community and to share your love. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Shall we stand? worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King of kings. We will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King. We bless the name of the Lamb of glory. We bless the name of the King of kings. We bless the name of the Lamb of glory. We bless the name of the King. And with our hands lifted high, we will worship and sing. And with our hands lifted high, we come before you rejoicing. With our hands lifted high to the sky, when the world wonders why, we'll just tell that we're loving our King. We'll just tell that we're loving our King. We will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King of kings. We will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King. And with our hands lifted high, we will worship and sing. And with our hands lifted high, we come before you rejoicing. With our hands lifted high to the sky, when the world wonders why, we'll just tell them we're loving our King. We'll just tell them we're loving our King. With our hands lifted high, we will worship and sing. And with our hands lifted high, we come before you rejoicing. With our hands lifted high to the sky and the world wonders why, we'll just tell them we're loving our King. We'll just tell them we're loving our King. We'll just tell them we're loving our King. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. your holiness. When I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I worship you. I worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. I worship you. I worship you.
Good morning. I hope everybody had a great week. Today has been an awesome day thus far. But what's awesome is today we're going to do communion. And so, yeah, absolutely. It's awesome. Communion next to Christmas and Easter is probably one of my favorite times of year because it's what it represents. But today we're going to talk about slavery to addiction. We're going to be Exodus 20. Where's that put us? Who knows? Real quick. Exodus 20 divided by 2 is 10, our Ten Commandments. So we're going to be in our Ten Commandments. We're going to start there, and then we're going to do communion, so we're going to be in 1 Corinthians. But before I start is this, if anybody has come in and would like to do communion but did not receive our communion elements, the deaconesses will have them for us, for you. Just raise your hand when we get there, or now if you want to, and they can bring it to you. But the other thing is, too, if you're here and you don't want to take communion, that's all right. I would rather you not take communion and have the right heart and the right mindset of it. And if you don't understand what communion is, that's all right too. Come and see me after church and I'll be happy to talk to you about it. But if you're at home and you're watching and you're like, I missed communion. No, you didn't. Go to the pantry, get some saltines, get some juice. And when we get to that point, we'll do communion together as a family. That's all right, no worries. If you don't have juice, use water, because did Christ not turn water to wine? Yeah, amen. It's our heart that matters about communion. It's our thought process of communion. So communion is very important. Our prayer warriors, I talked to you last week. Please continue praying for Sean Leach. He's going in Iowa City. He has to have six or seven teeth removed, possibly part of his jaw, to prep him for his chemo and radiation. He has to have a face shield made to cover his face, and he starts that process this week. So please pray for him. Pray, pray, pray. The last thing, Troy Leach, his brother, heart issues, praise God. Guess what? He was healthy and smiling this week. That's awesome. For Troy to smile is amazing. Troy's always grumpy, frowny. But Troy, if you're listening, I love you. Sean, if you're listening, I love you too. Leslie Carber as well, people that I work with, people that we talk to. But addiction is huge. A few weeks ago, Jeff asked, hey, do you want to talk this week? And I'm like, does a fat man eat cake? Yeah, I'll talk. So here I am talking, right? And so I had already had this put together, and when we get to it, I'll explain why. It's an emotional time for me this year. It always is. My wife's like, you're a roller coaster, and you'll understand why. A lot of things happen in the fall for me, which is frustrating and aggravating. But as I said, we're going to talk about slavery to addiction. So I went on an Illinois website, and I was just wondering, slavery to addictions, you know, and the first thing that popped up was opiates. Hopefully I said that correctly. I didn't know what they were. I really didn't know. Mr. Kind of Innocent, I mean, what's opiates? No idea. So opiates are a class drug naturally found in the poppy plant that work the brain to produce a variety of effects, including relief of pain. Many of these drugs, opiates, can be prescription medications that offer painkillers, and also known on the street as heroin. Didn't know that either. So why are we going with this? You'll find out here in a minute. Many prescription opiates block the pain to the brain to create a stimulus to make people feel happy, lack of pain, to make them feel high. But believe it or not, people can get addicted to them. Additional side effects are slow breathing, constipation, nausea, confusion, or even drowsiness. Opiates by name, sometimes referred to as narcotics, although they relieve pain, they do not fall into the same category of over-the-counter Tylenol. Now, here's what really blew my mind away. For our region, right, of Illinois, so that's our region. If you take our map and you look at it, there's a big cut section, our specific region alone. Prescription opiates, such as oxycodone, Vicodin, going even further, fentanyl, synthetic opiates are 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine. That heroin is an illegal drug. We knew that, right? Heroin is illegal, yeah. For our region alone, the data sheets say this. Ages 12 to 18 and 18 to 25, 21% of our youth have used opiates. They say this, that the age group from 25 and older is much higher. That's huge, church. That you can think that, I mean, 12 years old, that's huge. That they're willing to admit that they use these drugs. So I'm asking you this, slavery to addiction isn't just opiates. Can we agree with that? It's not just opiates. It goes further. I think of it like this, anything that we bring before our Lord is an addiction. Can we agree? The first thing that you wake up every day, next to going to the bathroom, right? Some of us have that, got to get up, got to go thing. But the first thing we think about is an addiction, if we put it before our Lord. So the weather broke. We went from the really hot weather, it's this nice fall weather, and farmers, I love you. You're cutting your corn down, you're cutting your beans down, that dust is in the air, it smells clean to me, you know, it's a fresh renewing to me, and I love that. But in 2017 or so, I worked at Metform here in Savannah. Met an awesome guy, really awesome guy. His name was Alec. Blonde hair, blue eye kid from Chicago, Polish kid. Loved him. We'd always talk about church. talk about Polish foods and traditions and just what happens when his family gets together. And on that particular weekend, he went back to Chicago, and they had a little tradition. They got together, and he brought me in a potato soup the next day. Amazing. It kind of tasted like a sourdough, right? And in the side of this soup had a boiled egg and then a ham, and he had this amazing rye bread. He brought it to me to work, and I devoured it. Just something about it was comforting to me. And after I got done, it reminded me a lot of my grandma's. My grandma would make that potato soup. And so one day we talked about, you know, his experiences in the city and why he moved out to Savannah, Mount Carroll. You know, why would anybody move out here? Was kind of what I asked him. And, you know, it's obvious to get away, right? We move out here to get away from the busyness of the city and everything that's going on. I mean, we got people over here laughing, throwing me a thumbs up, but it's true. You know, I was talking with Liz that we've been here 11 years. I love Mount Carroll. It's quiet, right? Not a lot goes on. You get to know everybody kind of in a roundabout way. But Alec and I, we talked. We talked about his issues that went on in Chicago and his family issues and so on and so forth. And we got off that day, and like normal, you know, I went home, you know, at 7 a.m., stayed up till 3:30, laid down, got up at 9. And like that night was horrific for me. I had this horrible dream. And it was my oldest had overdosed on heroin. And I saw him there with a band around his arm and a needle in his arm, and he was this horrible blue. If you've never seen any actual, just this horrible color. And as I'm walking through the door, I saw this, and I woke up just in turmoil, just bawling. And I went to work that night, and I talked to Alec, and he and I, we talked a lot. And I'm like, hey, Alec, I had this horrible, you know, here's Alec. He's sitting on this dunnage, kind of all just sitting back like, hey, what's going on? And we're talking, and we're communicating this, and he's just blown away with it. And then that was it that day, and we didn't see him for 2 or 3 days. They found him with a heroin needle in his arm. The point I'm getting at is addictions aren't just drugs. Addictions are anything we put in front of the Lord. Anything, our homes, our wives, our cell phones, hello, electronics. I'm addicted to it. I love it. It's anything. So let's pray. Blessed Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come into your house, Lord. I thank you for everybody here, the families, Lord, our church family, most of all for sending Tim here to us to be our shepherd, Lord. I ask that you continue providing for him and guiding him and directing him, Lord. Look after Sean, Lord, as he goes through this. Just let everything go well. Fill our hearts and minds, Lord, most of all. Let my words fall, Lord, on receptive ears, and please let everything come from my mouth acceptable, Lord, in your holy name. Amen. So how do we beat addictions? I mean, no matter how big or how small they are, how do we really beat them? Anybody can stand up here and say, oh, you have an addiction problem. If you drink, don't go to the bar. If you do drugs, don't buy the drugs, right? If whatever it is, anybody can stand up here and do that. I think of it like this. How do we beat addictions? Beat the devil at his own game, right? Let's beat him at his own game. Does he not know the word, yes or no? Yes, he knows the word, right? Does he not know how to manipulate it and twist it, yes or no? Yes. Does he or does he not know how to get us to fall in our own addiction and our own traps? Yes or no? Yes. Go all the way back to Genesis 3, right? The fall. It's the same thing. I talked about it last week. The same games over and over and over. So the question is simply this. How do we not fall into that trap? I like Exodus 20. We're going to go into it here in Exodus 20, because it gives us the guidelines and the principle right out of the gate. God talks to us and guides us and protects us. But not only saying that is this, because as humans, we all learn from our mistakes, hopefully, you know. About a year ago, I had to take a pastoral class, and the class was this. It was on counseling. How do we counsel the flock? I'm horrible at that. You know, that tells me I have to slow down, right? I have to look, I see you. We talked about a while ago. I have to see you. I have to look at you and understand what you're going through and so on and so forth. But then they flipped the class on us. Guess what? They flipped. They said, as a pastor now, you are counseling. You're getting counseling. What is the first thing as a pastor has issues with? Anybody have an idea? How about this? 4 out of 10 pastors view pornography daily. Cat, yeah, wow, I heard a wow. 4 out of 10. Pastors have food addictions. Obesity and health issues is next. After that, pastors become reliant on texting instead of facial interactions. How about prescription drugs, drug abuse, gambling? All these escalate to help them cope with things. 90% of pastors are workaholics. They burn the candle at both ends. 50 to 75% hours a week, excuse me. Mom, don't be laughing now. I love you. She's over there cackling like a little hen. I love you. How about this? Pastors feel like they're on call 24/7, 365, while on vacation. They're on vacation. Leave them alone. They need away. And here's the last one that blew me away. I had no idea. 1 out of 10 pastors retire from the ministry. Only 1 out of 10. Is that huge? So here's something profound. Write it down. So if pastors are the shepherds and they stumble, a polite word for sin, over whatever addiction it is that they have, then what are the sheep doing that is not being addressed or brought forward? Because if the shepherd stumbles, right, he's supposed to be in tune with God, and he's supposed to be the one that helped keeps his mind, and he's supposed to be the one that helped stays keeps himself holy and pure, able to convey and convince and talk and relate the word, then what is the sheep stumbling over? Again, I say addictions are not drugs. They're not just cigarettes, liquor, porn. It's anything that inhibits the relationship with God and others. Because we have God above all, and we have us here as a church, and we're all believers, and we all love each other, and we all want to see everybody succeed. So let's start with this. Exodus, the Ten Commandments, the battle addiction. That's how we get through it. Everything revolves around the Ten Commandments, everything we do, even though we have the new covenant, right? Christ, his we're going to talk about the body that's broke and the blood that covers, right? And it cleanses us. We still have the new commandment, but how about the old covenant? God didn't mean them to be a burden on our lives. He really didn't. The commandments are not a burden. He meant them to keep us in order, to keep us walking in a straight line. Here you go. I know you can't fulfill these. I know you can't stay attuned to these. But here's a guideline so you know where you're going, the path and the direction you're going on. Society and man alone, if they all stuck to that, wouldn't we be a lot better, church? Yeah, wouldn't we? Seriously. Nice and simple. Stick to the commandments. What happened to the commandments in church? Or excuse me, not church, in school. They're gone. Right? Mom and I, we've talked about it. Commandments, they're gone. What about praying in school? It's gone. We can't do that anymore. Heaven forbid we pray in school. We can't do that. God knew that whatever we place in our heart and we desire, that's what we're going to go after. An instant gratification, yes or no, right? Right? We do. We see it, we go after it, we want it now. The Ten Commandments were not meant to be a final judgment. They're meant to give us a guideline. I've said it already. To help give us a sinless life. To help give us a sinless life. We can never live up to them. Exodus. We're going to start in Exodus. Here we go. Exodus 20, 1 through 3. I love the words. I've figured out words and kind of traced back of who God is. And here's one amazing one. Elohim, God. It says a strong creator. Genesis 1:1. Exodus 3:14. It says, I am who I am. That's who our God is. Wow. I didn't touch nothing. That's who our God is. That he's a strong, that he's a masculine creator. That he thought it and he breathed it and he came into life. I am the Lord, the reintroduction of who God is. He's saying, this is who I am. I am the Lord God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. He's telling us who he is. If we miss this one little start of Exodus, we've lost all of it. If we do not understand who God is, we can never follow the commandments. We can never stay on tune, because I'm John Ricketts, right? If I came up and said I'm George Turner, which is a great guy at work. If you're listening, I love you. I had to use your name. You would obviously know that I'm not George Turner. He's tall, he's skinny, and he's a nice guy. I'm an all right guy. George Turner's amazing. But God here is saying, I am God. And he's introducing them again to Egypt, or excuse me, to Israel, and letting them know that he pulled them out of slavery, that he took them out of Egypt, of what he has done. The first thing that when we wake up, I said it already, this is your God. People with addictions, I'm sorry if you have addictions. I really am. Addictions are horrible. You know, as a recovering alcoholic, I can tell when somebody's drank. My mouth waters. I get jittery. Guys at work walk in all the time, inebriated at work, and we're working around horrible machinery that could take their lives in a second. I'm like, what are you doing on the floor, man? Go put a mint in your mouth. What do you mean? I haven't drank. Don't lie to me, man. Addiction is horrible because it's the first thing you think about. God purchased us free and clear. Right? He had this credit card and Christ's picture was on it. And guess what? When we were conceived, it was already swiped. We were already paid for. We were already taken care of. Elohim, strong and mighty God. His breath has the ability to create and destroy. He spoke life into existence. This is my God. The relationship that he wants is simple. I am God. You are my child. I took you out of slavery. I took you out of Egypt. It's still today. He can take us out of whatever addiction, whatever issue we have. We can do it if we just take and spend the time in him. Yes? Exodus 20, 4 through 6. The next name is Elkanah, E-L-K-A-A-N-A. It means jealous. It's in Exodus 25 is what we're talking about. Jealous isn't like envious like I am. I'm like, oh, I really, Angie, honey, I love you. I really love that Jeep. It's white. It's lifted. I keep saying, coming back to it, but that's jealousness. I love what they have. This isn't the same thing. It's like this jealousness like a husband is for his wife. My wife, if she is my flower and I am her soil, and everything I can do is nurture her and help guide her and help direct her, help her be the best she can be. And guess what? In return, she's going to bless me. That's what jealousness is. I want nobody looking at her. I want nobody talking to her. I don't want anybody around her. That's what our God is, because God has put his claim on us. We are his children. God owns us. He's taken us to the point of nothing to something all through Christ's blood. That's what our God is. He's jealous. He wants nobody else around. He wants our focus on him alone. Exodus 20, 4 through 6 says this, "We shall not make ourselves an image in a form of anything in heaven above, on the earth, or in the waters. You shall not bow down to them. You shall not worship them, for I am the Lord your God. I am jealous, punishing the children for their sins, the parents, and the third and fourth generation, those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations for those who love me and keeping my commandments." No image. I can't even imagine. I look at the images here that we have. They're beautiful. They're gorgeous. But guess what? They don't even come close to our God, close to our Savior. Yes? Can we agree? No. Seriously, they don't even come close. When it comes to the point when we kick off, tell you what, honey, I want to go before you. When we get to that point, I can't wait to see my Lord. I can't wait to see how gorgeous he is and the radiance and how God is and everybody else who's gone before me. And I go, I didn't know you were going to be here. They're probably looking at me and saying, Ricketts, you made it? How did you make it? Oh, my wife. My mother and father-in-law, let me tell you. Because that the correction and direction of servants of God is amazing. We talked about it in Sunday school. The smallest thing that you never can imagine guided somebody to Jesus is huge. No image. No image. It's kind of like this, a free get out of jail card. God's introduced himself to you. I am who I am. Do we understand that, yes or no? Amen. Yes, I got one yes. All you other saints, you must be on your way. Amen. God has given us a free get out of jail card. He's introduced himself. Now let's not make any images. Let's worship nothing except for God and Jesus Christ. Not even bow down. I saw an awesome shirt. It was like this military khaki brown, and on the back is this rugged cross, kind of like what we have up here, and has a thorns on it. It says, I bow before no man except for the man who hung on this cross. Amen? That's who we bow down before. I shall not. It's simple. God is saying, you shall not. That's a directive statement. He's telling you specifically, do not. You shall not. Or else there's an outcome. Angie and I know this firsthand. If you take a bobby pin, she's laughing because we both did it as children, and you spread the prongs on it, right? Does anybody know where I'm going with this? And you stick it in an outlet, what's going to happen? Yeah, we both did it. Tell me about it. Mom and Dad say, don't do this, or else. Don't stick your hand on the oven. It's hot. What are we going to do? Stick our hand on the oven. Oh, it hurts, right? God's saying, do not do this. It's a directive, period, end of statement. He is Elkanah. He is jealous, like vigorously jealous. If you can't understand that, folks, of how jealous our God is, zealous jealous. To the point of nothing else is acceptable, period, end of statement. You cannot bow down, ever. My dad told me a story, I believe it was, of he served in Vietnam. No, I love my dad. He's not my father, he's my dad. There's a difference there, can we agree? Dads provide, fathers love. But whatever. He told me a story about a little Vietnamese village that had converted to Christianity. And they came in and they burnt the village, and there was this picture of Christ, and they threw it down on the ground, and they told the village to urinate on the picture of Jesus. And so the guys did, and there was this gal, and she refused. And just refused, and she got down and she started cleaning the picture off with her hair. They took all the guys out and they executed them. And they didn't execute her because she refused. That's us, church. We have to refuse. Period. You shall not bow down. Showing love is great. I can't imagine, you know, how far do we go that the third and fourth generation? I think we're in that now in America, that we've forgotten about everything. Mom, you know, you said the 60s they took prayer out, right, roughly? Do the generational map. How far along? Are we not in the third or fourth generation, roughly, from there? What do you think's going on with America today? We've forgotten who our Lord is, who our God is, who our Savior is, who we are to adore. We have no prayer. We have no commandments. We can't even salute and pledge to our flag of America, which everything was founded on. Exodus 27. I put misuse here. You shall not misuse the name your God. The Lord will not hold any guiltless who misuses his name. How many of you ever heard this? God and fill in the back of it, right? Or Jesus and fill in the back of that. Let me tell you, they're not praying. Right? God doesn't take that foolishly. When we use those names are powerful. I tell you this much right now. When I pray to Jesus Christ, I know when I bring his name up, demons flee. Yes? Right? When I pray to God and when I pray to Jesus, I know people get healed, right? He's the healer. We talked about it. We've been talking about it. He is the provider. It sickens me. Absolutely does, that people have blatant disregard for who God is and who Christ is. We shall not ever misuse the name. Did you know back in the time when the scribes would take and they'd have their scroll and their little quill, they'd take their time and they'd clean it up perfectly and get everything just right on target. And they'd take and they'd have their, and they'd dip it and they'd start writing the name and they'd get it done. And as soon as they got that done, do you think they continued using that quill? Angie already knows it. They'd snap it and they'd throw it away. Because they didn't want to defile what they have written up to this point, because they wrote the holy name of God. And when they went on to the next transcription and next writing, guess what they had to do? They had to take and get another one and dip it and get writing. And I'm like, I can just imagine, oh, praise Jesus, praise God, I got another. And get another one, and they start writing another one. They get done, they'd snap it and throw away and go back to the other one. His name and their names are powerful to the point of the fullest of armies. Exodus 20, 8 through 11, remembrance. I like this one because I'm horrible at it. Mom, and Angie says, amen. I hate this one because I don't like to ever stop. And it says, remembrance of the Sabbath day, keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and for all your work, but on the seventh day in the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male nor your female nor your animals nor your foreigner, residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord has made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed Sabbath on the day and making it holy. Remembrance. I'm horrible at it. I like to go, go, go. I like to get stuff done. That's just who I am. I have to stop. Guess what? So do you. It doesn't have to be Sunday. Take one day. Just one day. Sit down, do nothing, relax. If God could stop and take and look at everything that he accomplished, right? He spoke it and it was there and he said, this is awesome, this is wonderful. Why should we not? How often do we work? We work all the time for somebody else and we're working and we're working and we're working and we're getting stuff done. Why can't we not just sit down and say, thank you, Jesus, and just shut it all off? I can't, I try, I'm getting better. I say it like this, church, rest. Rickets, rest. We need that rest. Anything and everything you do on the Sabbath, guess what? You're going to have to fix or repair the next day. Dad knows. He knows exactly what I'm saying. Only if I work a little bit harder, I can work through Sunday because it's double time. That's $90 an hour. Awesome. I'm going to work for $90 an hour. Guess what? Taxes just took it out and you had 3 flat tires. Wow, man, that was worth it. Right? Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother. I don't like this one. So that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. Honor them, no matter how old they are. Doesn't mean you have to like them. Doesn't mean you have to put up with them. Honor them. I honor my mother-in-law and father-in-law. They're my parents. I don't honor my father, and I don't honor my mother. I honor them. Show honor and respect. Heed their guidance. You honor them, protect them when they're old. Open the doors for them. Open their car doors for them. When they're gorgeous, old, and they're shuffling, come behind them, make sure they don't fall. Dad, you're on your way. Honor them. Do I love my father? Yes, in my own little way. Do I honor my mother and love her? She's my mother. Mom? I don't know. Our parents were a gift, as we were a gift to them. Parents, young parents, love your children. Guide them and direct them and protect them onto the way of the Lord. And guess what? Hopefully, when you get a little bit older, they'll come over and clean your gutters. They'll come over and help shovel your drive. They'll show that love and respect and honor back to you that you've shown them and guide them all these years. So for those of you who are watching, we're getting ready to transition into communion. Communion's awesome. You know, when I first took communion, Easter Sunday, 1990, Fort Sill, Oklahoma. We did the normal training, you know, we go through and we do our PT, and then after our PT, we go back and we get cleaned up, and we get the option this day, you know. Sergeant comes in and says, all right, you have two options. I'm like, great. It's Easter Sunday. One, get your dress greens on, get some chow, go to church. Two, put your BDUs on, get some chow, come back. We're doing GI party. Who knows what GI party here is? Jeff, do you remember what GI party is? Cleaning. And Sarge was a twisted guy, you know, his mind was whacked. Let me tell you, this fat boy wasn't gonna clean. So I put my dress greens on, polished everything up nice and neat, my shoes were good, and went and got chow. It was great chow. We had the normal eggs and whatever, green eggs actually, and whatever. So we had it, and we got there, and then we take and we head out. We go to, I'm going to church, and I'm heading down there, and we're all, of course, you just can't walk, right? You have to, and here we are, all these pretty young men in our dress greens, and the ladies that were just going, ooh, look at those guys, right? And here we are, we're marching to go to church. It's Easter Sunday. How hard can it be? I'm going to church. Mind you, I'm not a church man at that time, and it's probably the first time I'd ever been to church. But I wasn't about to clean. There was no way. Yeah, I keep laughing. It gets better. So here I am. I'm in my dress greens, and we show up to the parade field, and all of a sudden on this parade field is hay bales. So I'm like, what in the world is this? Because I had never seen a hay bale before. So here I am. I'm sitting in my dress greens on this dirty hay bale. In the middle of the sun on Easter Sunday, 1990. So we're there, and I'm like, okay, how hard can it be? When I'm done with this, I got the rest of the day to myself. I can do whatever I want. And all of a sudden comes this guy, and he's standing up there kind of like I am now, and he starts speaking this crazy language. I swear he was like convicted by the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking in tongues, right? And he's up there, and he's going on and on and on about this. And I understood nothing that he was saying. I mean, seriously, I understood nothing he was saying. And finally, service is done, and I'm like, woohoo, service is done. I'm going back to do what I want to do. No, it didn't work that way. They corralled us like sheep in a turret in a line. And here we are in a line. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm like getting something free. Here I go. So we're, you know, parade rest, pop tall, then you march, parade rest, pop, and you got the idea. And we get all the way up to the front, and here's this guy, and he's, again, speaking this crazy gibberish, and I have no idea what he's saying. And he's dressed in his nice gown and everything, and he's got the stuff, and pulls us forward, and I'm kind of looking at him, and he's like, kneel down. And I'm like, this guy doesn't kneel down for nobody, because that was really rude back then. I was like night and day compared to now. And so I get down on my knees, and he comes over, and he has this thing that he's like, I'm like, what's that mean? He's like, open your mouth. I'm like, because I had never gone to church before. I'm not dead, right? Because if you go to church, you're either dead or you're getting married. That's what my family believed. So here I am, and so I like open my mouth, and he sticks this styrofoam thing in my mouth, and he's like, chew. And I'm like, so I'm chewing. I'm like, this thing is horrible. And I'm like, woohoo, it's Easter Sunday. I'm done. Oh, no, it gets better. Oh, yeah, it's not done yet. So I get up, and we go down the line. Now, here are these guys backwashing in the same cup, and he wants me to drink out of this cup. I don't backwash out of no cup. Well, then I look, and I see there's Sarge. Guess what? I backwashed in that cup. Thank you, Jesus. That was my first communion. I had no idea what I was doing. And this is where I'm going with this. Ready? Ready? He is a Roman Catholic priest, did an amazing job speaking old school Latin. I know that now. If you're here and you have no idea what communion is, don't take it. Right? If you're watching and you have no idea what communion is, don't take it. Because it's our heart. It's our mindset of what Christ did for us. So if we're ready for communion and you wish to take communion, everybody have the elements here for communion? Anybody need anything? Communion is sacred. Communion is about our heart. Communion is about what God did for us, what Christ did for us. And I want you to make sure that you're not like me in 1990. Hey, it's Easter Sunday. I don't have to go do extra cleaning or whatever. Well, actually you do, because that day I got married to Christ and didn't know it. That day, guess what? I was blessed and I've got eternal life. Guess what? That day changed my life, because from that day forward, I started wondering what it was, but I did communion improperly. Is everybody clear? Yeah. All right. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29 says this. I put down, examine yourself. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment on himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Today is the first time I've been able to do communion for my family and for the church. I've done it in other churches and other places. Examine yourself. Take a moment or two. Just examine your heart and be ready for communion. Cups that we have are tricky. They have a little tab on the front of them. It's like a coffee creamer tab. Fold it all the way down 90 degrees, and it'll pop the first top. Then you can peel it back, which will give you that nice styrofoam wafer that I had in 1990. You know, but it is. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 24 says this, for I receive from the Lord that which also delivered to me, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat of this, the body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I always break mine as a visual that what the Lord has done. Eat the bread. Go ahead and open your cup. In the same manner, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread, drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. Until he comes. Drink your cup. Now, if you would, please, we're going to have praise and worship come up. I'll close in prayer. Please, on your way out, two things. Grab your cup, throw it on a trash can on the way out. And then also we have our offering our offering and tithe plates in the back.
Shall we stand?
May the Lord God bless you, may he provide for you in your homes, and may he keep you safe at work. Most of all, protect us and guide us as we go about doing our duties. In your holy name, Lord, amen.